Welcome, everybody. What a great program we're going to have today. I have such an exciting guest, and you are just going to love everything we're going to talk about. It's really so heart informative and heart enriching. So listen in. And of course, this is Marcy Newman, your Heart Shift coach, and this is Heart Shift Radio, and I want to welcome every single one of you. We're going to be talking with Dr. Debbie Silber today, and I say doctor, congratulations, Debbie, on your PhD. I think this is just terrific, so congratulations to you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, very exciting. So let me just tell you a little bit about Debbie, and then she's going to share some more about how she came to this place of really being so empowered in her life. Her very extensive list of credentials includes being a registered dietitian, having a master's degree in nutrition, certified personal trainer, whole health coach, certifications in pre- and postnatal fitness, and also a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner. That was not easy to get out. And now a doctor of transpersonal psychology with a focus, a very unusual focus of betrayal. And of course, we're going to be talking so much about that. But I also want to note that Debbie is a very sought-after speaker and the author of an Amazon best-selling book, The Unshakable Woman, Four Steps to Rebuilding Your Body, Mind, and Life After a Life Crisis. So, Debbie, I just want to, first of all, thank you for being here. And again, just to make certain that you know how excited we are to have you, and so much looking forward to what you have to share with us. So officially, welcome.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. I'm looking forward to our chat.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more about the background. How did you get here? It's an incredible journey that you've been on, and we can see if we start to connect all those dots how it seems you've always been so health and well-being oriented, but this particular focus of betrayal is huge. Mm-hmm. What brought you here?
You know, it's an eclectic background, I would say, and it's interesting because at first I started just getting people lean and healthy, and I believed that if you eat well and exercise, that's all you need to do, and you will just be healthy and feel great and everything will be wonderful. And I got so sick with symptoms, illnesses, conditions, even disease, and I had a feeling it had something to do with these toxic relationships and emotional overwhelm and chronic stress. Now, at the time, I was running this full-time business, and I had four kids and only four dogs back then. We have six now. Not quite sure how that happened. But I actually had to give up my entire business with clients I adored because I couldn't get out of bed.
Whoa.
You name it, I had it, and it was... It really had me question that, you know, why was it that here I'm supposed to be the picture of health, and I was doing everything, quote unquote, right, mm-hmm. and I couldn't function. And I had a feeling it was due to those other things. So I had surgery, and while I healed, I studied to become a whole health coach. And that's a health expert trained to teach how our lifestyles create either health or wellness or illness and disease. Sure enough, I learned that on some level, all of those other issues were contributing to these massive health issues that I had. I changed everything. Everything healed. I healed from all of it. So that put me on an entirely new path, and I realized how important it was to have our mindset and our relationships and all of that right. Well, a few years later, I took on so much, and chronic stress and overwhelm got me again, this time with severe adrenal fatigue, adrenal dysfunction. So that's when I became the functional diagnostic nutritionist, so that I could test people for stress-related issues and disorders, because apparently I was the poster child for them. And that was a wonderful experience, because then I learned, okay, you can eat well and exercise and now have healthier relationships and all of these other things, but if you still have a ridiculous amount of stress, it will take you down. And I was living proof, healed from everything once again. Now I started having clients come to me with different sorts of life crises and different types of traumatic experiences. And of course, I had my own. And I had physical crises in the past, but this time mental and emotional ones. And it inspired me to just take on this PhD in transpersonal psychology, which is the psychology of transformation and human potential, because I had transformed. I was obsessed with transformation, and I saw my clients. I was walking them through processes that it was happening with them, and I wanted to dive into it further. It was time to do the dissertation. I had experiences with betrayal. I just wanted to study it at that level, and that's what led me to the study and the dissertation around how women experience betrayal, and what it led to was just incredible. Does that bring you up to date?
It does, but it also brings a couple of questions forward. So sure. First, I want to ask, how long ago was this that you experienced those two meltdowns?
Well, I had a physical one, and this was, it's a miracle I'm alive. I mean, it was after the birth of my second, which was, he's 20. So that was, the first one was 20 years ago. I had, it's called peritonitis, and that's when you have just this, this inflammation of the whole peritoneal cavity. My stomach started just blowing up as if I were 6 months pregnant. Thank goodness I passed out and was rushed to the hospital. They thought it was appendicitis, so did an appendectomy, and found the infection, opened me up from top to bottom, suctioned out between a pint and a quart of strep pneumonia. I was quarantined in ICU for 11 days. No one could come near me. And all of my organs, my systems, everything was shutting down. And it truly is a miracle I was alive. And I'll tell you, Marcy, you know the power of the mind. And I'll never forget being there in ICU. I mean, of course, the first few days I was out of it. And at the time, I just had my older two, a 16-month-old and a newborn. And I remember thinking that really for it was about 2-3 days where it was really just the morphine drip, that I would hit that morphine drip for the pain, pass out from the pain, wake up, hit the drip, pass out from the pain. That's all it was. And I remember one day I just couldn't take it. It was unbearable. The pain was just too much. And I thought, well, you know, I just don't have to do this. It's just too hard. This is too painful. Just let go. Just stop. And you don't have to. And then I pictured my family, this young family that I brought into the world. And at that very moment, it was, I don't know if you call it, it was like a fierce decision. And I remember saying to myself, you know, God, universe, source, energy, anything, help me get out of here. And I know that was the turning point, and that's why I'm alive.
Wow. That's huge.
Yeah.
And of course, our audience totally gets that. Many of the people in our audience have experienced very similar pivotal points in their lives where they've also just learned to accept that we're not meant to be living this life on our own, right? We're meant to be drawing from source, and the energy of that love, having the capacity to heal and really creating change in our lives. So it's wonderful to have you here and to affirm all of that. All right. As you went forward, so obviously you healed from that, my God, terrible health crisis. But this pivotal point of declaring, and I think probably also maybe for the first time recognizing within yourself what was having the strongest effect on your lack of well-being. How did that happen?
Absolutely, hands down, it was taking care of everyone else, being Wonder Woman supermom at the complete and utter expense of my own needs. I just didn't consider myself at all.
Mm-hmm.
And my health took a toll. So I learned the hard way, and it was truly a miracle that I bounced back, let alone had two kids after that. But then I guess we're so, and I can speak for so many women with this, we're so conditioned to take care of everyone else and put our needs last. And it wasn't the last time I did that. You would think I would have learned after that. And then, you know, healing.
Those rivers run deep, don't they?
Yeah. And then having this adrenal fatigue, which again, it's exhaustion from the same thing. And I didn't get it again. And then I had that massive betrayal experience, and that just, It you know, and I know we're never broken, we just feel broken. That broke me.
Yeah.
Just broke me, but led me on this path. And it led me to that study, to that dissertation, and even just in the interviews with the bravest, boldest women I've ever known, it just absolutely helped me heal.
So, of course, I have to ask the question, are you willing mm-hmm. to share what happened during that betrayal? Everybody
sure.
wants
well,
to
it,
know.
It was, yeah, and it wasn't one. I'll tell you. You know, I've learned that, and it's interesting because at first, when I was looking to do the study, I thought, okay, well, I want to study women who've been betrayed by a family member, a partner, or a friend, because my betrayal was family and partner, and it's interesting because I couldn't find anybody who had a betrayal that hurt them so much caused by a friend. You know, friends, they make us angry, and they really hurt us, and we'll cut them out of our lives, or we'll be very disappointed or upset, but they don't rip our heart to shreds like the betrayal from family or partner. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, I've had both. So again, being the poster child for everything I learn and teach, that's who I studied. And it was, you know, I guess we come here with just an agenda, and mine was to maybe reset my boundaries. And having that betrayal from my family, I didn't quite get it. I healed. I thought I was good, but I guess I didn't quite get the lesson. And then when it happened with my husband, I certainly learned the lesson, changed everything. So did he. And if it wasn't my life, I wouldn't believe it's true.
So the betrayal that you're speaking of with your husband, mm-hmm. obviously uh-huh. you've done a tremendous job healing that, because you're married, what, now 27 years or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
well, go
ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, we had always said years ago, and we're together 33 years, we said years ago that we would always renew our vows for our 25th anniversary. And this is only, I mean, this is 3 years ago. This is 3 years ago is when I discovered this, and so we did our own healing, did our own rebuilding, and actually on our 25th anniversary we got married again. So it wasn't it wasn't a renewal, it was a new marriage. And it was you know, it's interesting, I remember Gary Zukav's book, Spiritual Partnerships. You know, I remember reading that, you know, of course, you marry for love the first time around, and safety and security and all of that. And then so often people get divorced and they look for a partner where the intention is to help each other grow. Mm-hmm. And I remember working with somebody saying, you know, Deb, I have never seen a marriage where it's going from one archetype, let's say, of marriage to another with the same people. And that's what we've both done. And if I, you know, when I questioned his transformation, I had to look at my own. And there's not a part of me that resembles the wife I was, and there's not any part of him that resembles who he was. Or I couldn't do it. It's too hard. It's just too hard. You know, I used to judge other women. I'll be honest. I used to judge and say, oh my gosh, you know, don't you have some pride and self-esteem and what are you doing? And I realized, oh my gosh, this is so much harder to do. And 90% of marriages can't do it. And I totally understand why.
Yeah.
And it takes the highest levels of everything I'm made of to do this. And talk about, you know, bringing in spirit and all of that. I couldn't do it if I wasn't acting as my highest self.
Well, you bring up a really, really important part for our listeners. And that is, first and foremost, that if any of you have experienced what Debbie is talking about, having that betrayal in your partnership, in your marriage, and have not succeeded in turning that around, that it's important to know that you're not alone, first off, and it doesn't necessarily mean that something is wrong with you, right? But what so often happens is that people try to heal this, try to understand this, and get past it from their heads instead of their hearts. Mm-hmm. And you can't do it from your head. It's not the kind of thing that, because it's not the kind of thing that can be healed from your head, because your head, you have to sort of, you know, ignore and obliterate thoughts that keep coming into it, but it doesn't shift you energetically. So what you said about coming from your higher self is really key. It's the only place where true healing can take place, because I'm sure that there are women even, you know, listening, saying exactly what you said that you used to say, right? Come on, mm-hmm, girl, mm-hmm. Don't you have any self-respect? And how could you ever take mm-hmm. him back? And, you know, you're an mm-hmm. educated woman. What are you doing? And mm-hmm. how could you represent all of us and say that you've done that? And mm-hmm. you're right on. You can't do it from any other place but your higher self. And that higher self is a direct connection to your heart. So bravo to you. Bravo to you both. And
thank you.
And now I'm going to tell you, we're really leaning in. Go ahead.
Well, you know, and here's the thing. Every single thing in my head, my ego, said this goes against all of the rules and this is a deal breaker and don't do it. And my soul said, what if this puts you on an entirely new path, creates an entirely new marriage, and what if this was what you both needed for your greatest good? And I know that sounds bizarre. And then, of course, my body was caught right in the middle, just getting so sick and, you know, from all of this stress. And I remember, and it's so interesting because this came out in the study with all of the women, where they may have even started being religious, but then they leaned towards spirituality, whether that was the spirituality part of their, the spiritual part of their religion, or just spirituality. And I understand it, because you're saying to yourself, I don't trust me. I don't trust that person. At least let me trust the universe.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing somebody at the time who, you know, just an intuitive counselor, and she nailed it. And she said, Debbie, you have no idea how you two were in cahoots with this. Someone, either you would have gone your own way, or something catastrophic had to happen to put you on an entirely new path. And you have a message, you have a following, you have a way of getting people to follow you, let's say, but now you're going to take the 27 years worth of health and wellness and lifestyle and mindset and personal development. And this is going to be the reason why you're doing it, because now you're going to have a very specific message from a place of knowing, and you're going to reach people to that level. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Exactly.
Like a reset button. Amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And even just, you know, I see it with, I have four kids. I mean, yeah. What it's done for the family, what it's done for the two of us, and I'm not saying it's easy, because it is not. It's not. It's you know, because forgiveness speaks an entirely different language.
That's
than
right.
The logical, rational mind understands. So, mm-hmm. And I'm a logical, rational person.
Mm-hmm.
So to move past my ego, to go past the judgment, the shame, and I didn't even do anything, but it's just, you know, what you experience and what you feel, it's changed my life, and all I want to do is help women, whatever it is for them, you know, with so many situations. And here's the thing too, if you don't feel safe and valued, and you forgive, you don't feel good about yourself. That's actually called uncritical forgiveness, and it depletes your self-esteem and confidence. When you feel safe and valued, and then you choose to forgive, and that's still a work in progress, because forgiveness is in layers and stages.
Sure.
Then it's a different story. So, and everybody has their own path of what they need to do when they have their experience. Now, keep in mind, I've also been betrayed by my family. So, you know, in that experience, cutting those ties was the better option for me. And I'm such a family-oriented person, so you can imagine how bizarre that was too. But it truly depends on what's in your best interest, what's in your highest good, and what is it that you're here for, to learn and experience.
I think what you just said is such an important thing for everybody to recognize and to appreciate as well. And that is, you know, giving ourselves permission to walk away from toxic relationships. You know, we're mm-hmm. all, you know, you talk about the conditioning. Oh my God, we're so conditioned, like you said earlier, to put everybody above and, you know, before ourselves. We're so conditioned that everybody else's happiness is more important. We're so conditioned that we shouldn't do anything to ruffle anybody else's feathers. And yet, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. how often, you know, people just will walk all over us, right? And mm-hmm. turning the other cheek is so ingrained, when the real understanding of that comes only when you are in your higher self.
And there's again, that responsibility piece to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, I would get a tremendous amount of accolades because I could do it all. It's like, mm-hmm. Debbie, how do you do that? Managing all this, you know, all these kids and all these dogs and this business. You are just, how are you doing it? How are you handling it? And that's
the
where I got
superwoman.
My ego
yeah.
boost from.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. So I know that your focus also with this betrayal is actually in working with women in particular, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
it is. And, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's, you know what, you have to write in the study the limitations to the study.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to start with women. But yeah, I mean, this study was really around how women experience betrayal. Men may experience it very differently. Different age groups may experience it differently. Different cultures may experience it differently. The beauty is now that the research has been done with women in this age group, it leaves researchers and sort of the next, you know, evolution of whoever wants to take this on to study other groups.
So what do you think the difference is in how women are affected by betrayal as opposed to men, from what you found,
you know,
in your study?
Yeah, it could be so many things, but I'll tell you, there were two interesting, I mean, they were such interesting discoveries that were made. I mean, at first, I remember one thing was, I said, you know, I have a feeling that healing from, because actually at first I was looking to see women who've healed and who've experienced something called post-traumatic growth, you know, the sort of the upside of the trauma, what it led to, a new life, a new perspective, mm-hmm. a new awareness, or women who were stuck. So we were looking for those two. And then there were many women who experienced this post-traumatic growth. But even so, I said, you know what, I have a feeling that healing from betrayal is very different than healing from death of a loved one, disease. I mean, I had been through all of those, and it felt different to me. I didn't want to assume. So I went back out to my study participants, and I asked them, and sure enough, they all agreed that it's a very different experience. So it needed a new term. So we coined a new term, post-betrayal transformation. So you'll be hearing a lot about that. Of course, the state existed, but there was never a word for it. Now there is. The second thing was, what I saw in this study was that there are five predictable stages that we go through from that shock till the moment we consider ourselves healed. So I don't know if men go through those same five stages, but every single participant went through those stages. I went through those stages. So now we know there are five stages. And the beauty of it is, if someone's in a particular stage, it's like, you know, hang on, this is what's coming. So it'll give, the intention is to give so much support and comfort, because now you know, if you're here, hang on, here's where you're going, here's where you're headed, here's what's next.
So what are those five stages?
Sure. Well, the first is, you know, if you imagine legs of a table, four legs of a table, what every single woman experienced was, let's say the four legs are physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And what I saw with every single participant and myself was physical and mental, meaning we're all in our heads and our body is taking us around to do all of the things that our head is telling us we need to do. And there was a really, it's like this really disproportionality between favoring the physical and mental over the emotional and spiritual. So often we just didn't even think about those things at all. And then there's this breakdown, complete breakdown of the body, mind, and the worldview. When that shock registers, it destroys life as we've known it. It destroys the foundation that we thought we were resting on that was sturdy and solid. It's gone. It's just destroyed. And with that shock, so of course we ignite the stress response, and that's going to, you know, create a host of symptoms, illnesses, conditions. Our mind, now we're in a fog, we're cloudy, it's this mental chaos. And there's a breakdown of the worldview, you know, the world as we've known it. It's based on a set of rules, and it's like, okay, these are the rules. This is how I navigate my world. This is what prevents chaos. And that's destroyed, because what we have believed in, counted on, rested on to feel safe, no longer exists. So that's when the bottom just drops out. That's an incredibly frightening stage. You know, anybody who's been there knows it. Then from there, it's like we will do anything to survive, anything. So imagine if the bottom drops out, and let's say you're walking and the bottom drops out, you will grab onto and hang onto whatever you can. Survival, pure survival. So now we're in just, it's a completely state of, I will do what I have to survive. And that's it. So whether that means if I've been a stay-at-home mom all this time and now, oh my gosh, I have to make money to because I have no, you know, no funds, no anything, you'll find a job. Or, you know, it's just pure survival. The stress response is in high gear. It's a very masculine energy. We are just all about surviving right here. You know, after that, we kind of settle into this, we adjust to this new norm. It's like, okay, we understand the life we've known no longer exists. We don't really have a new one that we feel great about, but we're sort of settling into this new space. It's almost like if you've ever moved and you move to a new town, you still don't know where your dry cleaners, you know, is, you know, your bank is, you don't know where your coffee place is, but you know, it's like you're in this new place and it's like, okay, I get it. I think I can make this work. Okay. And the stress response sort of slows down here a little bit because it's like, okay, you know, I'm feeling a little bit safer. I think I can make this work. I don't love it yet, but I think I can make this work. Once we've settled into that space for a while, that's the healing, the rebirth, the rebuilding of a new worldview. And this is the stage where, when you picture those four legs of the table again, now there's a much greater balance between the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual. We understand we need to work all of those legs, not just two of them. And here's where we shut the stress response off. We start to heal.
Yeah, I imagine being aware, like you said, of, you know, what's mm-hmm. coming is such an integral mm-hmm. part of this. So, I mean, what you're really, you know, bringing to the table, no pun intended, is, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, like just how important it is to be educated as to what this process is all about, how it's going to play out, and make certain that you get the support that you need while you're going through it.
And support is so crucial. That's one of the biggest things that we found. Every single woman in the study said she would have benefited from a support group, not to sit and commiserate, but to, there's so much shame and judgment and embarrassment and whatever else there is around it. And to have women who've gone through it. So actually I'm starting two different certification programs. One is to become a certified PBT, post-betrayal transformation support group host.
Wonderful.
Because I want these support groups everywhere. And then the other is to be a certified PBT, post-betrayal transformation practitioner. Because now we know at every single stage, physically, mentally, emotionally, what's happening. So when a client or patient comes in with, let's say, a gut issue, or comes in with adrenal fatigue, or comes in with depression, exhaustion, something, you know, if they can trace it back to betrayal, we know exactly how to help them heal.
So what do you think the conditions are that most women experience betrayal?
You know, I think it varies. I think so often we're trying so hard. We're playing by the rules. We're coming in with this open heart and trusting that the person we've given our heart to, that we've given our trust to, is playing by those same rules and has those same values. And you know, betrayal really, it's a breaking of those spoken or unspoken rules. And it's not just, you know, with a partner. It's with anybody we've trusted and we're dependent upon. You know, the more we trusted and dependent upon somebody, the greater the betrayal. Like, for example, a child completely dependent on their parent. Then the parent does something awful. It's going to have a greater impact than, let's say, a coworker taking credit for your idea. You know, still a betrayal, but not to the same level. So, you know, what I've seen is when we have trusted in that spoken or unspoken agreement and the other person has not, that's where it starts.
So let me ask you a question, because you brought up the point that, you know, these spoken or unspoken agreements with mm-hmm. our partners, and the males may not be looking at it in exactly the same way. Do you mm-hmm. foresee that this is an issue that will continue as long as there is a difference between male and female attitudes or way of seeing the world?
You know, my intention is to at least do my part to minimize it, but it's not, this is not just about women. I mean, men are betrayed too. And let's say even workplace betrayal is so common with men, but partnership betrayal, family betrayal too. It's so common. What I see as the greatest element contributing to it is the numbing and distracting and the ego. And that's actually what my TEDx was about. I did a talk. It still gets a lot of views a day because it really hit a nerve. And what's happening is, you know, there's that voice that wants to, that's speaking up, telling us we need to, what used to work doesn't work anymore. What used to feel good doesn't feel good anymore. What used to make sense doesn't make sense anymore. And it's calling us to play a bigger game. And we think we like change. We don't want change because it's going to shake up everything around us. So what we do instead is use things like food or drugs or alcohol or work or TV or keeping busy or reckless behavior, so we don't have to look and say, what am I really supposed to feel? You know, it's like, and that's a midlife crisis. You know, this is when some people move towards spirituality. That was certainly what I did. Or when, you know, when other people choose to start drinking or have an affair. You know, they're trying to desperately escape themselves instead of taking a cold, hard look and saying, hey, what am I ready for now? What do I need now? What makes sense now? And in those distraction and numbing and escaping, we're hurting so many people. So whether it's a man or a woman, if the intention is to numb and distract, you're hurting people in the process. Of course, yourself too. I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah, no, definitely does. And yeah. So yeah. It brings me to the question about, the deterioration of the sense of self, mm-hmm. right, that's actually taking place when somebody's going through that numbing, the distractions, you know, as you said. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what's at the core of that, right? Deterioration mm-hmm. of the sense of self and being completely overwhelmed by that call, as you described, that call for us to play bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So from my perspective, I mean, what we're really talking about is the importance of nurturing and cultivating this, you know, self-love as we go along in life so that we are more resilient, that when those calls come, and we know they're going to, right? We are mm-hmm. constantly being called to mm-hmm. become greater, a more expansive version of ourselves, that we have the ability to do that without needing to escape it.
Yeah. And I actually, you know, I have a few questions that I invite all of your listeners to ask themselves.
Oh,
and they will
love
see
it.
If it's okay, if you'd like me to share
Please.
Them, I'm happy to.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would just say, here's what you want to write down. Am I numbing and distracting myself? If so, how? Just call yourself on it. Are you drinking? Are you, you know, are you binge watching TV? Are you going on shopping sprees? What is it that you're doing? And here's the next question. What am I pretending not to see? Are you pretending not to see you have an issue in your relationship? Are you pretending not to see you hate your job? Are you pretending not to see that there's a health issue that needs your attention? What's life going to look like in 5 to 10 years if I do nothing? So the same path you're taking with the numbing and distracting, let's say it's a health issue, 5 to 10 years, what's going to happen? You see that there's a challenge in your relationship, 5 to 10 years doing nothing, what's going to happen? Same issue with your job, 5 to 10 years doing nothing, what's going to happen? And then the last one, in 5 to 10 years, if I make some changes, what could be? What could life look like in 5 to 10 years if I change now? Now, I'm not saying it's easy. Trust me, I've been there. It's the hardest work you'll do. But transformation's never easy.
No.
It's ugly. It's messy. It's not graceful.
No.
But that's transformation.
Yeah. Well, you're certainly a wonderful inspiration. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you... I first of all, I have to comment, I love the whole aspect of getting married again, not renewing vows, getting married again, really coming together with the understanding that we have to build something completely different. It's a brand new marriage and working together to do that. And I guess my wish for every single person in this world would be to have that partner that's willing to do that, to really have come to those places within where that capacity, which is huge, by the way, is available to them. And so, you know, I think there's so much food for thought here. I think that the call to live bigger is really loud and clear in this conversation. And the realization that each of us has the capacity to answer that call if we're willing to do the work. And like you said, it's work.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no greater reward.
Yeah, it's certainly not the path for everyone. It has been the most challenging time in my life. But I look at it and I say, okay, because of that, you know, I made these discoveries in this study. There's a center dedicated on Long Island to help women heal. There's a new site, pbtinstitute.com. There are certification programs. So my intention is to have these support groups and these practitioners in every state. So there's something really powerful about taking something really bad and doing something really good with it.
Well, you brought up the point also previously about, you know, how there seems to be a certain orchestration, right? About, and I think it was the intuitive that you were working with who said the two of you were in cahoots, right? You both came to this agreement of sorts, and I do believe in soul agreements. And I think a lot of our listeners do too. And we have these agreements. Okay, you're going to do that. I'm going to do this. And then we're going to come to this crossroad and decide where we're going to go from there. But I think it's always pointing us in the direction of our soul's purpose. And from where I'm sitting, you know, you have so beautifully stepped into yours. And I can tell you that I'm very grateful that you're here. I'm sure that our listeners are very grateful that you're here. I admire your courage.
Thank you.
I admire your willingness to step back and say, okay, I have a choice here. I can either heal through this, or I can allow myself to be spit out on the pavement and crawl through that need to survive instead of thrive for the rest of my life. And you obviously chose to heal. And the result of that is that you're now here to share every bit of it, everything that you've gleaned from this experience with others. And I do believe that that is our soul's purpose. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Tell us a couple of things. First of all, what's the name of your center on Long Island? Where is it?
It's in Melville, on Long Island, and it's called the Silber Center for Personal Growth and Healing, and the PBT, Post Betrayal Transformation Institute, and the site has the same name, pbtinstitute.com.
And then you also have your other website, which is debbiesilber.com, correct?
You know what? It's interesting as this is gaining momentum. Mm-hmm. The DebbieSilber.com is slowly morphing into the PBTInstitute.com. It's interesting. This whole new evolution is making it that this whole new site, this new center, it's not about me. It's truly about the women who go through the six-week program, which is a prerequisite to the certifications, and it's all about them. So it's just the PBTInstitute.com.
Talk about the program for a second. It's a jumpstart program, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's really based on those five stages. And I between the 27 years worth of health and mindset and personal development and combined with the findings in the study, we take somebody from that first stage to the last. And it's amazing. We just finished our first round of it. And every woman in there said, oh my gosh, this would have saved me. This would have condensed my experience from years to months. That's if I can shorten anybody's time that they're struggling with this, or maybe even decades, that's wonderful. And it's interesting also because probably about 75 to 80% of the women who took the six-week course took it because it's as healing as it is for me to teach it to them. They understand the benefits, so they want to become the PBT support group hosts so that they can help others through the same experience.
And that's what it's all about, right? Mm-hmm. There in a nutshell. Well, I can tell you, you're a very powerful medicine woman, and I look forward to just hearing more and more about how this program grows and reaches so many hearts around the world. And again, thank you so much for being here. Are there any parting words of wisdom that you want to share with our audience?
Yeah, I would say, well, first of all, thank you so much. It was just such an honor to share this time with you. And for anybody struggling, you don't have to. You know, and unfortunately, betrayal is very common. There hasn't been a solution to heal until now. This isn't just based on a couple of ideas. It's proven now. So I understand you're wary to trust, and I get that. But just go to the site, pbtinstitute.com. Just you'll see. Move it into it, lean into it to whatever level feels safe and comfortable for you. But there's a way to heal, and we know what it is now.
And of course, we're going to include those links with our little description of this interview. But for those of you who are listening, I just want to repeat that. That's P as in pumpkin, B as in boy, T as in Thomas, institute.com. And the other thing I want to ask, and this is something that people may be wondering about in this moment, are there any facilities close to your center where people might be able to come in from out of town, out of state, out of the country to participate in your programs?
Oh, well, we actually, when I took this facility, this space, I purposely did it with the intention of teaching here. So there's a teaching room. We have room for, I'd say, you know, up to 15 people, and it's so that when we do our trainings, we can do them here. So if I'm understanding your question correctly, there are hotels within 2 minutes away.
Beautiful.
And as part of the trainings, someone would stay. I would pick them up and bring them here. The practitioner certification involves a 2-day workshop at the center. So I will personally pick them up and take them. Ways to work with everybody. I just want women to heal. You don't have to be stuck. I know the pain, but there's a breakthrough on the other side.
Well, your dedication and your commitment is evident in everything that you've shared and how thoughtfully you've put all this together. And of course, your willingness to just make it happen. So thank you again. So many blessings to you. So many blessings to all of our listeners. Please, if you have comments or questions, please list them below. We want to know what your thoughts are, what your feelings are about the things that have been discussed here today. And of course, you can always reach Debbie at the pbtinstitute.com. And I look forward, as I said, to hearing more and more and having you come back and share with us how you've expanded and, you know, what the next step is. So have
Thanks
a wonderful,
so
wonderful day, everybody. And thank you for being here. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.